Grace, mercy, and peace are yours through Christ Jesus our Lord, who came in order that we might have life and have it abundantly forever. Amen. Please be seated. Now, this is the way it should be every Sunday. I didn't want to disappoint you by not saying that, all right? This is the way it should be. And it only can happen if you do it. We can stand up here, whether it's me, Pastor Dwyer, your new pastor, our deacons, whoever, we can say it, but it's got to come from you. It's got to come from the very heart that you have. How many of you like a parade? Parades? Yeah, parades are kind of fun. I remember when we were here in the 70s, the 4th of July parade went right past our house on Jerusalem Avenue. No problem finding places to watch that parade. Is that parade still going here? No. Wow. And then, how many of you go into Manhattan for the Thanksgiving Day parade? See, not many. It's amazing. And you all love parades. Right? You all love parades. So, as a child, the parade that I went to every year at about starting 7 or 8 when they started them, was the circus parade that ran right down Wisconsin Avenue in Milwaukee. All the old circus wagons and all that. Now, of course, we can't have circuses anymore now, so it hasn't happened for a year, but it was great. But the best parade I ever went to was in Pasadena, California. After hundreds of years of not going to the Rose Bowl, my team went to the Rose Bowl. Right? And someone arranged that we could go to see the parade and the game. And as we sat there watching those beautiful floats that you all watch on TV, right? You can't imagine how beautiful they really are unless you've been there. The fragrance of the flowers, the great parts of the band, you know, the people watching and going, oh, wow, that's all made out of flowers. And it was an amazing thing. And that parade kind of sets a standard for how good it is. Well, today, on Palm Sunday, we also have a parade. Actually, we have two parades, right? We have the Jesus parade, right? And the reason that Jesus was having this parade from the east side of Jerusalem was that people had heard about what he had done with Lazarus. And so they followed him into the city singing, Hosanna! Anybody, I mean, we sang that already, right? What does it mean? I was amazed. Nobody last night knew what it meant. I could check with Henry if he was listening last night, but I wouldn't do that to you, Henry, all right? What does it mean? It means, save us now! It was a cry from the people that they knew that they were in trouble. And they were looking for Jesus to save them, just as he had raised Lazarus from the dead. So the hope was there. At the same time that Jesus was coming from the east side of Jerusalem, there was a parade coming from the west side. And the leader of that parade was Pontius Pilate. He had heard about this Jesus, and he was coming back to Jerusalem because they figured there might be some trouble. So on the one hand, we have the parade coming from the east with the rising of the sun and the hope of new life. And at the other side, we have Pontius Pilate, who would be responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus, or death. What he didn't realize is that was the fulfillment of what God had in mind for you, for me, and for all people of all time. That's why Palm Sunday is such a great day for us. It's a day in which we watch our Savior. It's a day in which we see people surrounding him. And some of those are the same people who just a couple days later cried out, what? Crucify him. Get away. Get him away. We don't want him. So in this parade, Jesus is beginning to enact the distinctive reign of God. And that reign of God has implications for you, not simply for today, but for eternity. That act on the part of Jesus was the hope that God gives to us, that even though we live and die, we will live again, because he conquered sin. He conquered death in order that we can have life. It is Jesus who enacts the distinctive reign of God, not simply in this world, but for eternity. And the cry, Hosanna, needs to be our cry too. But it is Jesus has saved us. He's heard our cry. It is this week, people of God, that gives full meaning and hope to all of us who have bid farewell to some of our loved ones over this past year. It is this week, each and every year, that we're reminded of the journey that Jesus took in order that the sins that we have committed might be buried forever in the tomb. It is this week that causes us to stop doing the things that we normally do during every other week and reflect upon the grace and mercy and the power of God for us, not simply now, but forever. It is this week that gives full meaning of hope for you and for me. And so as we begin this journey this week, and that's what it is, you will notice at the end of the service today, there's no benediction. There's no closing hymn. We leave to ponder what God has done for us. We leave to reflect upon the price that Jesus paid. And the church, of course, invites you, and I will invite you, to come to visibly experience what Jesus experienced for you. See, it's great to come to parades, right, and say, well, there he is, king for a day. And it's great to come for an empty tomb and say, wow, he did it. But folks, guess what? The price was high. How high was the price? It was the price that we wouldn't want to pay, because Jesus had to pay it for us. It's the price of suffering. It's the price of death. It's the price of burial. But it's the price of resurrection. And so as we journey through this week, right, I'm going to challenge you. What else is new, right? I'm going to challenge you to not just go for the celebrative things, Palm Sunday and Easter, but join us in the never-ending drama of what Jesus has done for us. Come to the upper room. Come and celebrate with our young sixth grade students as they receive First Holy Communion, just as those disciples received it in the upper room with Jesus. Come and reflect upon the suffering and death that Jesus had in the midday service, or in the tenebrae, in the service of darkness. For the price he paid was great. Come and be a part of the vigil as we wait and watch for the good news that he is risen. For he has risen. We know that. We live on the other side of Easter, don't we? But it doesn't hurt us to reflect upon what Easter really is all about. I put it this way: you can love Palm Sunday and Easter, but if you miss the in-between, you deny the reality of sin and death. No reality of the price that had to be paid for you. And so, though we love a parade, though we affirm the joy of that, we also need to love the Jesus who gave us life. And as the people of God, then, we gather. We gather this day and each day during this week. Spend some time, even Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, reflecting upon what God has done. Read the Gospels. Read Matthew, read Mark, read Luke, each day, one of them, and see the price that Jesus had to pay. This parade will end in execution. The parade to the tomb next Sunday will end in exaltation. That, my friends, is the best news you could have ever received. Jesus' journey is our journey. And how wonderful it is if we journey together all the way to the upper room, to the cross, to the empty tomb, to celebrate new life and new hope for eternity. Amen. May the peace of God then, which passes our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in that Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.